Hey, what's up, everyone? Before you jump into this steaming hot cup of burnt out coffee, I wanted to give a little shout out to a friend of ours called Game Johns. They are a friend of a show and a podcast you should check out. Join Riley and her crew as they delve into everything games, from upcoming titles and nostalgic classics to game development and intriguing interviews. Learn and laugh alongside this ragtag team of indie devs. And that's a point I really want to specify. Indie devs, you get a really good look, just like how we're comic creators and we talk about a bunch of mediums. They're indie devs and they go right into it. Whether you want to philosophize about the definition of a game, discuss the hype behind virtual reality, or discover games you've never heard of, Game Johns is the show for you. For all things Game Johns, check out allmylinks.com/GameJohns. Don't forget to check out their Twitter at Game Johns for all their news and announcements. And now to the episode of Burnt Out Coffee. Jingle bells.
Not copyrighted.
Jingle bell. This is the start of the Christmas month.
And what's Christmas more festive than bounty hunting?
Have you been naughty? Because you on the list. Your dog. For our audio listeners, Oscar's dog literally just went, I'm in this episode, I heard someone sing my song.
He literally, like, you were singing? I don't know if he could hear you, but he came off the couch, came across the room, and like just like got right up. He's like, what's going on?
He said, I heard something. But yes, everyone, thank you for tuning in to this episode of Burnt Out Coffee Friday, the big one. This is just Burnt Out Coffee, baby. You got the big exclusives. And this is the start of Christmas.
Big Toblerone.
Ooh, you deserve it. That should be one we do for Christmas. They do have a Christmas episode.
No.
So this is the start of Christmas month. Three.
Feliz Navidad.
I thought you were going to continue. You just have to say the name one more time.
Yeah, that's all I wonder.
This is... we're doing three... there's your spirit. There are three episodes. Sorry, burp. There are three episodes where we're covering three very Christmas properties. And I know what you're thinking. How Christmas are we talking? We're talking this week's episode is about, does Gremlins hold up? And I know what you're thinking, Enrique. That's as Christmas as Iron Man 3. Well, guess what? I consider Iron Man 3. I consider Iron Man 3 a Christmas
horrible movie.
I consider. Do you want to make Iron Man 3 on this list? I almost did.
No.
I almost fought for it.
Iron Man 3 is a horrible freaking movie.
I almost fought. If it wasn't for our third pick, I would have picked it.
We each got to choose our favorite Christmas film. Gremlins is mine.
I didn't pick my favorite. I just picked one I've been dying to see for years.
Well, there you go. That was your choice.
And all of the themes, just so everyone knows, the theme of this Christmas year, because I like to provide a theme for everything we do, because I feel like it creates something new. So that next year, you know there will be a different Christmas theme for this month. This theme is, technically it's about Christmas. That's this.
Technically, it's in Christmas time.
And that is this theme, because 2020 has been a year. Welcome to the year of technically... it's Christmas.
That should be the song. Technically, it's Christmas.
Mariah Carey's new hit. Technically, it's Christmas.
Honestly, she needs a new hit single. It's been a while.
Actually, she just came out with one with Ariana Grande. And I think it was
Whitney Houston. Yeah, I regret everything now.
I heard it. And let me tell you, too much. Just too much, in my opinion. Too much.
Too much.
Too much. She could have toned it back. Let those each voices shine through. It was too much. Like, it's like when you make something too sweet, you're like, oh, sugar is good, but you got to control it back, baby. But that being said, we're talking about Gremlins. Gremlins. You know, this is Gremlins. Oscar's pick. So normally.
Best Christmas film ever.
So Oscar's going to take lead on this one because this is his film. And now his dog is back. Hello, Sirius. How are you doing? Did you hear me?
Did you hear me about Gremlins?
So for our audio listeners, I'll start taking control because they can't see this dog that is twice the size of Oscar just destroyed.
It's not twice the size. It's the exact same size. So it still makes it very difficult for me.
He can whoop your ass if you wanted. Paws on face. He'd be like, da, 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 da.
He has done that. He has done that.
But Oscar, why don't you start us off? Because what we do here is what we like to do. We compare older films to today's modern contemporary standard. Of course, we don't consider stuff that held them back technically in time. And when I mean technically, I mean technologically. Like, we don't hold them back for horrible CGI if at the time it was good for those times.
Yeah.
So we compare it at the time period it was released, but also hold up today's standards from storytelling, from character development, pacement, sensitivities, everything, and place them next to it and go, does it hold up today? Well, Oscar's going to take lead on this one because, like he said earlier, this was his pick for his favorite Christmas movie that technically is Christmas. So, Oscar,
technically give us Christmas. So, our film starts off with a disgruntled inventor who doesn't have the best of inventions. Good ideas, but not the best execution. And so he is out.
Oscar's dog is attacking him, so I'll take over a little bit.
I was holding his head. He's out, doing his thing, trying to sell his wares. And, you know, he's like, well, you know what? It's Christmas time. And I haven't gotten my son anything because I'm an important businessman who has been making no time for my family. Which is good in every Christmas film. You always have that parent that doesn't spend time with their child. Apparently, I haven't been spending time with my child, my dog, enough.
I'll take over. So Gremlin starts off with I didn't realize until this movie how fucking prevalent this trope is, especially in the 80s. If you saw our Pet Shop of Horror episode, because you did, you wanted to know, does Pet Shop of Horror holds up? Your dog is just not part of the show. Just deal with it. He's just there now. It starts off with a very, Chinatown. They have mysterious ancient creatures that we don't know about because.
And it is like Asia. The most like stereotyped, like little basement China shop with like just random dragon statues and incense burning.
Like, I'm going to start. I know this is not where you want to start with the show. I just want to say it real quick. This is, in the nicest way I can say it, a white ass movie. A white ass movie.
Yeah,
not because of snow. It's what there is one black man, and what happens to the black man, Oscar?
I mean, he had a prevalent role. He was a school teacher, a school science teacher. I mean, that's big. That's progressive. And it killed him off.
I was waiting. First person to die. This movie.
Was he the first person to die?
He was the first motherfucker. I was like, they are not going to kill the black man first. They're not going to.
That's just Hollywood tradition. I mean, they're just keeping, to Christmas tradition.
Okay, so I want to change our formula up because we're going technically it's Christmas. We're going to add an extra question. We're going to break down all the elements like we normally do. I'd never started the timer. We're going to break down all the elements like we normally do. Whoops. I'm just going to add 7 minutes to whatever it is and just assume it was 7. I'm sorry if it wasn't, people. But this is the main thing I want to talk about. We're going to answer this question, Oscar. Is this a Christmas movie? And if you answer yes or if you answer no, you have to explain your answer. So we'll save that a little bit tucked in the back. But instead of going through the whole plot, I want you to tell me what were some key scenes for you. Because I will say this about the film, again, jumping around a little bit in our formula, the cinematography. Let's combine cinematography and effects, because I want to talk about the spectacle of this movie, because I know you want to talk about it, and I'll let you go first, because I have things to say. You go first, baby.
I think, real quick, if you haven't seen Gremlins, the premise is the dad buys a magical creature from a weird, spooky Chinatown shop for his son's Christmas gift. And it comes with a set of rules, on very much so like our Pet Shop of Horrors episode, which I'm sure they gained inspiration from. Not Gremlins, but Gremlins came first.
Are you sure?
I'll look it up.
No. You keep talking. Okay. I'll look it up.
Okay. So
that was something I was thinking of.
And basically, things go awry when the rules are broken. The rules are never get it wet, never let it in daylight because it will kill it, and never feed it after midnight, which is a relative term depending on time zones. Anyway.
yeah, that was a very relative rule.
Like whose time zone? We're talking about back in China? Like, so the creature is called a Mogwai, and it's the most adorable thing on earth, cuter than the child from Mandalorian. I will fight you.
No.
Yeah, he's cuter. No. He's furry. Not. He's furry.
Oh, he's so furry. Nah, the child wins.
He's furry and he has nubby fingers. The child has claws and fangs and is slick
and
leathery skin.
Cute as Jesus Christ is as holy. I don't know why I went that comparison. I don't know why I did.
Because Christmas.
Christmas.
Jesus. Anyway. No. So the rules are broken, and when this creature gets wet, it multiplies and creates gremlins. So hence the plot of the film. And it's during Christmas time, and there are valuable Christmas lessons throughout the film, which we'll go over later. But my favorite things of the film, honestly, the premise is...
By the way, yeah, 1999.
Yeah. Yeah, so the premise is simple enough. My favorite thing about this film are the practical effects. Because in the 80s, yes, even 90s, practical effects can look a little chintzy. But like this one, it's like when the mechanics of Gizmo's face for all of his expressions.
Yes. He has so many.
It's literally like the child. It's like it's a puppet. It's mechanized. But like this is 30 years earlier, you know?
It's so beautiful.
Like scowls, happy, confused, and pain even. And like, so when he gets wet and like the bumps on his back are moving and all that, it looks so gnarly. It looks so
especially
gross.
Stripes when he's on the fountain.
Yeah. Yeah. Like all the practical effects in this film are top freaking notch.
And the cinematography, legitimately how they composed the shots, how they were able to show you the gore without showing you how everything about it. So like, I want to say straight from now,
yeah,
the special effects, like you said, the cinematography, everything about it is top tier. It does not just hold up today. It is still impressive as hell today. It's like one of those things, like they did such a good job. It holds up 30 to 40 years after.
Mm-hmm.
It will.
Damn good movie.
Damn good special effects. Now yeah. I want to talk about something called tone and consistency, Oscar.
Now, very consistent.
Really? From the beginning, right? So I'm going to ask you a question. Pick one genre. What genre is this? Just one. What feels the most
It's not one. It's two. It's two genres.
Pick one, and then I'll let you tell me what you believe the second one is. Because I could argue five. I could argue five of this, I think.
I say...
It's kind of quiet, Oscar.
Horror?
Did you want to say horror?
Horror.
So were you terrified in the scene when they were just in the bar? Fucking what was that scene? The whole slapstick comedy of it? Were you terrified?
That was horrific for that poor girl who was working there part-time, not really making a dime. She's volunteering. It was horrific for her.
Was it horrific for you? When were you scared?
Now, the second genre is comedy. Horror comedy. Yes.
Oscar, okay.
Because it is a family Christmas film after all.
Oh, it's a family film. So I'm going to ask you a question.
Yeah.
What part of family did you feel when the couple got ran over by the tractor?
We did not see their fate. They could be okay.
Was it family friendly when we saw the gremlin get blended, the mom stab it repeatedly, and then microwaved a motherfucker? And then she got choked out. And listen, we were like, children, come along.
There's lots of life lessons there.
What about when the gremlin literally just gets a gun and just says, fuck it, and just starts shooting motherfuckers?
Gun violence, gun safety. There's lots of good morals, family morals in this movie.
The school teacher died and we found him with a syringe stuck to his ass.
That's called irony.
What was ironic?
Because he drew the gremlin's blood without his consent. So what he gets? Syringe in the ass.
How is that irony?
That's called justice, actually. Justice.
What about the part where literally two cops watch a man get murdered in a Santa suit and they just roll the window up and leave?
That's a problem with our...
So you're getting... You see what I'm getting at.
And also, they were drunk. So, I mean, there's a
family friendly.
It shows you that we're all human, Enrique.
What about the part of the man, like, okay, this one I actually do want to ask. How old was the main character legitimately? Was he like 20, 21, 22, 23? I thought he was like 20.
I want to say he was like out of high school. Like
he was able to sit at a bar and order a drink. So he has to be above 21 or above.
21, like 22. Yeah. Like, I don't think he was very, like, I think he was younger than 25.
And I say this going modern days, it is very not rare to find people up to like 27, even like living with their parents because of current economic crisis, because of how the economy has, like, basically how the US has constantly raised prices on stuff, but not raised the living wage of stuff. So, like, it's like, oh, there's discrepancy. That makes sense. But in the 80s.
Or when you move back home and your wife leaves you.
But in the 80s. Man, that got real. That got real. Ooh, I didn't know how to segue from that. Gremlins. Gremlins. But basically, no. You good, man? I just want to check in on you. You good? You got a new wife. You're good.
Yeah.
You got a new wife. You're happy.
How did I get remarried? Anyway.
Gremlins! I don't know why.
Gremlins!
I love you, JoJo. You're doing a great job. Oscar does not deserve you. Oscar, yes. I said that with pure faith in my heart.
I'm funny.
You are funny. You are very fucking funny.
I'm cute.
You are cute. You're also a dick. I love you.
I mean, I'm very sarcastic.
Yes, you are. Gremlins!
Gremlins!
I'm not editing none of that out. That's staying. Let's say if you made it this far, Bean Team, we cracked the window for you. You got a little peek inside. But basically, no. The thing with Gremlins, I feel, is the tone is, like this podcast, very inconsistent. It jumps back and forth too much in my mind that I was watching it and I was literally going, what am I... Like, I enjoyed. Did I enjoy it? Yes. Mm-hmm. Did okay. I feel like I got what it was trying to say? What it was like, it was too much of back and forth, back and forth. Like, looking at this, this wasn't directed by Spielberg, correct? It was just
produced.
Let's look at another Spielberg property that he did make, Jurassic Park. That balanced family friendly with a more gruesome, horrific tale, but it stayed consistent in its tone.
This one had sexual innuendos. It had murder, sabotage. You're right.
I remember the Velociraptor pulling up a deck of cards, smoking a cigar, one alone in the back of the bar, contemplating life.
That's like, funny. I don't care who you are. That whole scene was hilarious.
And then I remember the Velociraptor pulling out a gat going...
Remember the crossdresser one?
Yeah. Like, wait, was that cross-dressing or was he just female?
I don't know.
You don't know what gender the Mogwais are. They could be fluid, baby. But going I don't know.
They didn't have any visual genitalia.
And Oscar, you're ignoring something. Yeah. This is a family-friendly movie, right? This is the problem. The movie try too hard to be horror in my mind, too hard to be comedy, and too hard to be family friendly at the same time, and they never pick the lane. And the reason that matters to me, it makes certain scenes, makes certain ideas stand out so much that I went, what? So Oscar, do you want to talk about how there was a subplot about a girl who hated Christmas? Why did she hate Christmas, Oscar? Why did this... And I'm a grump because I don't like Christmas. And I... Not in this town. If you hate Christmas in this town, you're horrified. Why didn't she hate Christmas, Oscar? What family-friendly reason did she have to hate Christmas?
It was a strong, positive moral lesson about Christmas. This whole movie... The reason why it's a great Christmas movie is because it gives you the true reason about Christmas. It's about family, okay? It's about family. It's not about presents, because look what happens when you rush and try to get your son something. You destroy your town with gremlins, okay?
You kill so many people, yes.
Yes, okay? Her dad dressed up as Santa and went down the chimney, got stuck, died, and they smelled him a week later.
How did he die?
He died. He broke his neck.
Yes. He went down and snapped his neck. We lit the fire and smelled him.
Yeah. You smelled daddy cooking. Daddy's chestnuts on an open fire.
Like, legitimately, she says after she was attacked, she was like, Christmas only brings darkness. And then went into that rant, and I was legitimately like,
because Christmas ain't about Santa.
Fuck?
It ain't about presents.
Oh yeah, that's how she ended it.
Appreciation of the family.
How cold was that line? And that's how I found out Santa wasn't real.
Exactly.
And I was just like,
as a child who was sat down at the age of 4 and told Santa was a lie and it was taking away time from Jesus, I sympathized with her. Because on that day, Santa died for her that day.
So you're telling me the equivalent of you being told, no, Santa ain't real, this is Jesus' day, is the equivalent of her seeing her father dead in the chimney burning as he snapped his neck in a Santa suit as they've been wondering where he's been?
As this was a fictitious tale, yes. Because I knew that girl's real dad did not die going down the chimney.
I know, but I'm saying this is the tone that's inconsistent. Like, in the beginning, it plays off a strong
Christmas message.
I can't wait to see you write a Christmas tale. Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer watch his mother get shot in the field while Santa put the deer's body in the pond and watch it froze. Looked at Rudolph and said, if that nose ain't burning bright, you ain't leading no sleigh tonight. And Rudolph just with rage made that grow red and was like, Christmas. That is the equivalent of how Gremlins was.
Listen, like, winter's a rough fucking time, man. You live in Minot, North Dakota, all right? You either get strong or you freeze to death, all right? That's all I'm saying. Motherfucker's gonna die out there. You better get that Christmas spirit in you real good. Stay warm.
So I like nitpicking at scenes and stuff, because the point I'm trying to make when you compare it to contemporary times is, do I think, so I'm gonna answer this a little early, a little Christmas early present here, Christmas Eve, open it now, because I kind of want to dive into the scenes of this movie because I feel like it's so much fun. So I'm gonna ask now, does it hold up? In my mind, shockingly, yes, for the reasons I'm about to complain about. The reason I say shockingly is, the biggest problem with me with this film is it's inconsistent with the tone. It tries to be a lot of genres at once, never sticking the landing truly in it. But one thing that we've learned to appreciate in modern like films and are learning to appreciate more and more just in our mediums, down, you could even break this down to like music, where hip hop does beat switches in the middle of it. When we see artists blend styles of different genres, we are accepting a lot now in films and TV the ability to switch what a show or a movie is within itself. Atlanta gets a lot of praise for switching its tone throughout the seasons. Looking at this movie, it does a whole bunch.
My food is ready.
We've been.
Go get it. I'll keep it going. So, like, Enrique is talking about this film, right?
Yeah, yeah, go.
And so. Yeah, he's wrong. This film is fantastic. I think it sticks true to form as far as its theme go. Yes, it's slightly horror. It does have comedic elements, but it is consistent that it keeps going back and forth with those elements. And okay, so I think in that regard that it is consistent in that way.
I guess I'll never know what he said until I edit this. And even then I'll ignore it. No. What I'm trying to say when I say inconsistent, I mean, the tone switches all around the place. And in modern day, we actually do appreciate that way more because we see it as flexibility. Whereas, do I think this one stuck the landing on it? No. But do I think it did well enough of a job that I would tell people to watch this movie? Yes. Because you have to admit, and this is where my knowledge technically is getting a little meta, I don't know, where I'm letting my knowledge of Gremlins 2 come in, where it just stayed with one genre being purely comedy horror, but leaning so hard on the comedy that it kind of made the film go, bleh. Gremlins 1, just the original, did do that. I will say that. So breaking down the scenes, I have one.
There's a lot of really good suspense in the movie.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, it does do things good, just not enough to make me go, this was a horror. This was a family-friendly film. This was a comedy.
I told
comedy.
You, it's a family Christmas movie. Like, I don't know how I'm going to tell you this.
Also, the dad, I want to quick sign it, was the most useless character. He just caused a problem and then just disappeared when the problem exists.
That was his problem. He was an absent father, and he learned his mistake. And that's why when Christmas time came, he was just like, I fucked up. I should have been here with my family, not out there sucking at life.
Because can we mention something? I want to say this really, really. I'm going to try to tread the line very easily. It's not that I don't find it believable. It's you'll see what I mean, Oscar. So the thing I'm confused about. Oh, my little Fluffy. Sorry for hearing that out loud. If you heard the audio of some noise, sorry. But basically, how did the school teacher die so easily? Because I feel like he died way too easily. Because
We didn't see the rest of his body. He could have had his throat ripped out. Like,
yeah, but I'm saying, like, even like, I don't know why. Like, I'm saying he died. I understand.
Like, the kid saw it off screen. Like, he saw what was wrong with the teacher. He's like, oh, look, he's dead. Like, there was no doubt in his mind.
But this is why I said every gremlin. Because I'm going to say this, and that teacher was weak as fuck. Because if you see everyone dying, a lot of the people took at least minimum 2 or 3 gremlins to kill them. Mama, the mother, single-handedly, literally was just like, oh, I'm so terrified. Looked at the kitchen, looked at the 3 gremlins, and she went back, put on a Rambo bandana, knife in her mouth, and just murdered in the most gruesome way. I said it earlier, but I don't think she turned on the blender. She was like, blender. Saw the other one and just went, stab, stab, stab. And in the most coldest, with the cold, dead eyes, put one in the microwave, closed it on it, and it went, what the fuck? And she just went, I'm gonna cook you alive. And I'm gonna watch. I'm gonna watch you die. And then I'm like, the mom's character at that point was, I'm going to be a supportive wife, even though I know I'm going to keep, like, that family was so supportive. They kept using that man's inventions, even though it made their life harder. And
the orange juice maker.
They are day ones. These people will ride and die with that man. That man could kill a hooker, and they're going to be like, we'll find a way to bury it.
He probably has. He
probably has.
He has an invention for that.
But all I'm saying is legitimately.
She's a badass bitch. That was an awesome scene in that film.
Yeah, I went like, she's always been looking like,
when the one's attacking her out of the tree, and he just like decapitates it. And the head flies into the fire pit or fire.
He was not as bad as you were right. Fireplace.
Fireplace.
He was not as bad as Mama. And that's another thing. I'm like, you want me to believe after I seen Mama Rambo take down 3, this one choking her that's on her back. She never just went. Because it's the weight of a mogwai.
The thing was on, no, like, it wasn't like the tree on her, and it was like clawing at her through the tree.
Okay, I will give you that. But it's just more of like my mentality is her character was so milquetoast of being, I'm going to be a supportive wife. I'm going to try to be there. I'm going to keep this family together because I believe in every member. My son is working hard to put food on the table. My husband's trying to make it. And then she just went cold-blooded killer. And then he just drops her off.
Can we keep it real that the son was making all that money for that household?
Yeah. Like, there's two inconsistent things. One, I'm going to let you talk about the son real quick because I want you to say that because I know you have points to it. I just want to say this real quick. Why did they leave the mom at the neighbor's house when she alone murdered three with no pre-planning, just walked in? She alone.
Because, bro, that was just adrenaline. She was shaking up pretty good by the end of it, I think. She was, like, pre-traumatized. But that was pure adrenaline. She was just like, and then after that, she was just, you know, she was shaking.
I refuse it. That's Mama Rambo. She's a killer. They should have brought her on the team. They were just met. They
I
were
mean, because the thing is, that's her first kill. It's next her time,
first three. Then, she
got that taste though. That gremlin. So like, next time, she's got that killer mindset.
Next time was tonight. They brought in girlfriend who was so afraid to make a kill. This time they should have brought mama, and she like already had the knife in her mouth. Like, I'm fucking ready to kill. She would have. She could have saved the movie.
The best part, though, like when the thing was like, she was like in the house, like, what the hell's going on? That record came on. Do you hear what I hear? I was like, whoa! Do you
hear what I hear?
It's going down.
She literally did this on the circuit. She went, what
the? If I heard that coming on my record player, I'd just leave the house. I'd be out of the house.
Because she's a real one, and they should have brought her for the whole movie. She was the secret weapon. It wasn't sunlight. It wasn't light bulbs. It was mama. Bring in mama. She good. So you wanted to talk about the very real. You wanted to talk about the very real issue of how the son was carrying the family on his back. Go ahead.
I didn't want to. He really was. Like, he was working at the bank. He hated his job. He wanted to be a cartoonist, draw comics and stuff, like somebody else I know.
Who also worked at a bank.
And so the dad's going out trying to sell inventions. It doesn't look like any of them are successful whatsoever. The bathroom buddy is a good idea, but that's a thick dick. It's like this big.
Yeah, it's a shit design. I'm sorry.
It's like a football. It's like this handheld, convenient carrot. No, it's not. It's not.
Can we also talk about like how I'm so pissed legitimately? I was like, nothing is interchangeable, man. Like, it looks like the toothbrush. It looks like you have a cheap ass razor and a toothbrush. I'm like, legitimately,
a nail clipper.
Two months of use, those two things of consistent use are going to be kind of shitty.
Can you imagine?
Do I have to buy a whole new one?
Because it was like a small, like it was like this big. It was like a small toothbrush at the end of this giant brick. Can you imagine holding this fucking brick like?
And also, it's supposed to spew the toothpaste, so you're like this.
And you're just like, it's supposed to shoot it onto the toothbrush, but instead it just shot it at people.
The bathroom buddy, I think, was the moment I'm shocked the family didn't leave.
Like, honestly, like, the bathroom buddy is a good idea if, like, you had a toothbrush, a nail clipper, and what else do you need in the bathtub or like bathroom? Like maybe like a comb.
They had a toothpick. They had a comb. They had
the toothpick. So it was like if it was a toothbrush, nail clipper, and a comb.
I think
and
it folded up
like it was this big, like a switchblade, and you just pull out what you need, and you had like an extra like toothpaste on the side. I think you could sell that, but that maybe. Giant mechanism, no.
Really, I thought every other device he had in the house, minus that stupid fly swatter.
Whatever. Oh, like four things, like a helicopter.
I'm like, that's what they should have. I was waiting for the part where they used his inventions to kill the gremlins because I'm like,
honestly, no lie, I thought one of them was gonna get juiced.
I was waiting for like that hammer, like everything. It was like a beautifully shot scene that made me think they're gonna use those. Never did, but all his other inventions, low key, could have done something good. He had a Keurig before Keurig. His coffee maker. He had a cell phone before a cell phone.
No, they had cell phones. They were just
home phone version where he was just like, you can just keep that on. You just go, hello. Turn any. He basically was able, had an invention. His problem was he did too many and never stuck with one. If he stuck with the phone one, he would have made every landline, every payphone, everything into a cell phone. He would have made with the automated hammer that could have saved time. Like, da 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 da.
You know, that is an actual tool, right?
Yeah. He could have been the first one. He could have, the juicer was such a good, like, dude, it peels and juices. If you fixed it, that could have, Jesus Christ, the time that would save for just everybody. Like, he had some
good ideas. Design looked good. Like, he had, like, the little, cool. He had the tree at the bottom with all the oranges. Like,
yeah.
It was a cool design. It was a cool design. And I'm mad how we talked about this film, and now we're talking about it.
No. We're breaking it down element by element. And the first element is the dad's fucking stupid because he focused on the bathroom buddy because that was his worst invention. His worst. Second to
honestly,
the flash water.
No.
To the flash
his worst
water.
I would say the worst invention. No. The worst invention was the smokeless ashtray.
That was the only one in the film that they said was a good idea.
No. Because it was like just profusely shooting out smoke. Because there's no way to dilute the smoke. It was just stuck in there until you open up the thing and they just all came out.
Yeah, but that's what he's saying. He should have created a mechanism that would have emptied out the smoke. Like if you had a window, a little hole, and press a button. Kind of like how an Instapot releases air, like a pressure cooker releases the pressure through a little nozzle
steam
when you press
and all that comes out. Yeah,
do that with that. His invention's gold. So back to the elements
I don't think
of the
it's
film,
that easy
Oscar.
With smoke, but
to the element. I don't know. Like I feel like breaking
the steam
down this,
goes on the air and you're not gonna choke on it.
Like I don't know. I found this film like hard to break down. Not hard or impossible. Just in my mind, it was hard to focus on breaking it down when it forced me into so many different lanes of thinking. And analyzing it outside of just basically saying the special effects, they're really well done. The characters, no lie, felt very one note. Everything was like a stereotype of a character. Oh, there's that one neighbor who hates his wife. There's that one.
He was hilarious.
Who loves
I loved him.
Did he try to hit on that one girl who was
No.
Okay,
He didn't try to hit on her. They kept it pretty respectful.
Okay, that's what I'm saying.
Kinda,
like, did I misinterpret?
He was kind of known as the town drunk, and she was like taking care of him. And he was very sensible. He wasn't like a weird angry drunk or like an Archie Bunker kind of type style. But like he like even like you know like you've been drinking, you shouldn't drive home. And even in then, he was like, you know what, you're right. Blah blah. I'll walk.
Yeah,
and you know like he was like that, but I don't think no, he never hit on her.
So many characters were one note. Look at also okay, the grandma,
they're just
the
all
old
caricatures.
Lady. That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. There's for analyzing them.
It's
that's
fun.
What I'm saying. When you
it's
analyze,
fun. It's a kid's film.
I'm not hating it. I'm saying for analyzing, there's nothing to dive deeper into because I'm like the characters are one note. I did want to say, what is that one actor who played the douchebag? I feel like I've seen him in so many movies.
He always plays the douchebag.
Right?
In the late 80s, early 90s.
Yes.
He's always an office worker or a douchebag or a boss.
Yeah,
like,
I'm going to look him up.
He's
I'm
like
him
type,
up,
he's typecasted as that character.
And that's all he does. That's all. I'm going to look
him
up. But
he's good at it. You hate him for it.
Gremlins douchebag. Let's see what I get. The horror chicks... oh my god, what is this actor's name? Just give me his name. Nope. I'll find it. Oscar, keep talking.
Well, I mean, like, I'll
what are you looking up? I'm looking up. I said, what are you doing? We have a show. Are you even? You bring your dog in a way. You go. To, I did have my cooker just go off in the middle, and I had to run off.
That's what. I postponed the show that way my pizza could finish. Who's selfish
but
now?
I said, you, because I said I'll look it up, and I look up, and I see you going, yeah.
I was curious because I couldn't remember if he was in Office Space.
That's what I'm saying. I'll look him up.
But no, like I think it had a fun cast because it was like all these stereotype characters, but they were just fun. And because you had this one guy, he's uncertain about himself, and so like you know, it's like it's a classic tale. You know, he's gonna like you know brave up, gonna get the girl. Like none of this is in question. It's not a mystery of how this is all gonna end. It's just how it leads up and how it's actually gonna like unfold is what you're in the ride for. And so having these weird-ass creatures where the cinematography and the practical effects are so amazing that, like, I'm just immersed. Like, I feel like these things are real, the way they puppeteer all these creatures and stuff. So, like, I'm in it, man. I'm in it. And the low-key, awesome Christmas story and morals underneath it, which I will die on this hill for, like, it is, like, literally every Christmas I watch this film. Uh-oh, that was like a surprised jolt that just came out of Enrique here.
Okay, so we're going to... Let's break this down.
Okay, go ahead. Hit me. What you got? What you got, research team?
Okay.
She's consists of Enrique.
First, nope, that wasn't him. Dick Miller was the dude you liked, the neighbor. I'm trying to find the douche. I don't remember
the douchebag's name. I'm sad. I liked him in movies.
I did not know this. First, the dude, Jonathan Banks, played the deputy, is the old guy from Breaking Bad.
No.
You've never seen Breaking Bad, have you?
I have seen Breaking Bad. I've seen season one.
So you don't even know who I'm talking about.
Season one. You don't, because it was boring and I stopped it. Because everyone's like, oh, it gets good after season one. I'm like, okay.
You're getting mad at me for shitting on Gremlins, but you just said Breaking Bad's boring.
Listen, I think he's a good actor. It was like they were all good acting in it. I couldn't get into it. An
actor who's amazing. Did you see Community season 4?
I don't know. I didn't see it in order.
Let me see if you can see the picture. That dude. That God, the light is shining bright.
Yeah, I can't see anybody. Jonathan Banks. I saw Sean Connery, John Wayne.
Do you know who's Gizmo?
Who's Gizmo?
Howie Mandel.
I was going to say Frank Oz, but Howie Mandel, low key, did a lot of monsters, man. He did that movie with Freddie Savage or Frankie Savage. What was it?
Is he secretly really fucking? Because I love monster voice actors.
He did the Boogeyman monster. What was it called? Where he was the blue Boogeyman monster creature? That was Howie Mandel as well. Dang, JoJo would know the name of the movie. I can't remember. He did Gizmo? That is fantastic. I like it even more now.
Okay, Judge Reinhold. That's his name. By the way, this whole research took me forever to find out that dude's name. Because like the picture they show of him now, he does not look like himself when he was younger.
That's 30 years old.
That's what I'm saying. That's just age. Mm-hmm. I was just more shocked Howie Mandel voice. Oh my God, I'm forgetting his name now. Oh, the king of like the current king of animal voices. Oh my God. B. Bradley Baker. Did Appa, Momo, he does Overwatch. He does all the noises. He's like an inspiration to me. Like, I'm like, oh, you're beautiful. But this dude has been in Beverly Hill Cops. He was in Fast Times of Richmond High. He was in Santa Claus. He was every time.
He was the stepdad in Santa Claus that no one liked.
Yeah, I want you to know, every time I'm saying his name, a movie he's in, I picture him in it perfectly.
Yeah, so he was the psychiatrist in that one with the bad sweaters.
Yeah, so Oscar, I think our final thoughts should be said right now, because this episode was a weird Christmas ding, ding, ding episode, and I want to leave the final thoughts to you, because I've spoken about how I feel about the movie.
I've spoken passionately how I feel about this film, how it's the best Christmas film.
I want to end it on a positive note, so I'll let you speak about it.
Listen, this movie, Gremlins.
I like the movie.
Holds up incredibly. It's just a fun film. It's not too much to where kids can't watch it. And it's not too kiddie where adults can't enjoy it. I think it's that fun median film.
It's a fun film. It's a fun film.
It's a very fun film. And with a strong moral lesson. And yeah. And it's one of my favorite Christmas movies, and I watch it every single year. And I don't know. I'm glad you watched it for me.
To end it on positivity.
Did Ari watch it?
I did enjoy it. Yes.
What did she think about it?
So this has been this episode of Burnt Out.
Wow.
I'm joking.
Ari, my love.
She went, it's all right. That's how I feel too. Like, you know, I liked it, but it's too much of too many things for me. It's too much of too, like, it tried to be scary while trying to be funny.
You just gotta sit back and relax. Just let it take you.
I did, and that's what I'm saying. That's why I went, like, I liked it, but if you, that's not a good thing. Like, let me show you. You know I'm a firm believer of fun movies. Fun movies exist. They need to exist. This is it. But you cannot claim if it wasn't very deep philosophical. It is a masterpiece. You claim it is a really great fun movie. I will say that.
Great, it's
a
great Christmas movie.
It's a great fun movie.
Christmas I'm not gonna, movie.
On Christmas Day, I read, look, when a movie about a living skeleton who is the embodiment of Halloween takes over Christmas, ruins it, but then saves it, has a stronger Christmas message than a movie that takes place entirely on Christmas. That says a lot.
No. Jack Skellington was a selfish asshole who didn't learn his lesson whatsoever.
Yes,
he did. He was like, I fucked up Christmas. Well, no, back to Halloween.
Oh, really? Oh, we're going to talk about that? We're going to talk about what lesson? What lessons did the main character learn? The boy?
Huh? He what learned, did the boy learn? That his father's a deadbeat. I think he didn't need to learn the lesson. The son was a great moral character. Everyone else needed to learn
you
know a
what?
Lesson.
That's what every great storyteller says. So what you want to do is make your protagonist not need a lesson. First, make someone else need a lesson. You know who should have a lesson?
You know what lesson he learned? Confidence. He was unconfident in himself, and he became brave and confident by the end of the film.
He didn't learn that from anything. He just...
He learned that from the trials and tribulations of the gremlins destroying his town.
No, he didn't. He asked her out before that. He asked her out before that.
Maybe.
Whoa, alarm going off. This has been such a great episode. Wait, this has been a train wreck halfway through, just like that film. This has been burnt.
Wow!
Good movie. Great fun movie. Fun. It's a good. I would say if you're a teenager and up, you can enjoy this movie. If you're a kid.
My son likes it.
But you show your son, like, this has been Burnt Out Coffee. Again, I don't hate the movie. I think it's fine. I just feel when you try to break it down and analyze it, I say the strongest points is the cinematography, is the effects. That's what really is. Story-wise, okay. I will say this. Story-wise, it really does show that you can write... like a crazy idea of what the gremlins would be in Christmas and Oscar for a positive. It makes sense. This is a good example of taking an absurd idea and making it feel believable. My only problems with the film are just strictly structural when it comes to tone. That is it. But it is such a big issue to me that that's why I'm not like, it's amazing or this is like the film that blew my mind. I'm saying this is a great film. Does it deserve to be a classic? Yes, of course. In my opinion, because of what everything is done right, but the things that make it done wrong is the only reason I'm not going, let me just get down and grab that gremlin. Ha ha ha. I'm not going to.
All right. Well, here's the thing.
This is a long episode.
Okay, I respect your opinion.
This is our longest episode.
Guys, comment down below on what is your favorite Christmas film, because there's more to come for us.
We got way more.
Way more. Like, and
do we
second,
want to say what next week's is?
You've talked about your favorite Christmas film. Our next question is, why is Gremlins still the best Christmas film? Yes.
Yes. Okay. And just so everyone knows, if you stuck to the end, thank you for listening. Let's do a little house cleaning. I'm Enrique Rosado at Ryder Rosado. With me, as always, is Oscar Fernandez at Oscar Farts. Make sure, if you like this podcast, guess what? Can you like it? Can you follow it? We would appreciate it. We would appreciate it so much. Don't forget to check out the podcast we mentioned in the beginning about how you say, my brain just farted. Don't forget to check out our podcast. Their links are going to be down below if you're watching this on YouTube. And yeah, check them out or go to our Instagram page. I should have a post the following day this episode comes out of them.
Just a quick thing. I changed up the dates of my giveaways. I'll be doing another giveaway, but we're going to be doing them Saturday. So I will upload the next one either tonight or tomorrow morning. And the announcement of who wins will be on Saturdays from now on, just to kind of correspond with our shows. And congratulations that makes to
way more sense.
Miriam, our winner of the last giveaway. Woo-hoo! And so, yeah, so stay peeled at either Oscar Farts on Instagram or F Arts on Facebook for a bunch of print giveaways I'm doing this month. 'Tis the season.
And just a reminder, the friend of the show was Game Johns. And don't forget to check out Oscar Fernandez at Oscar Farts for these giveaways of his art. And also, while you're at it, why don't you go to Webtoon or Tapas and check out Catrails, my webcomic that I have going on right now. It's in chapter 3. Things are definitely heating up. It's getting crazy, and it's only gonna get crazier.
I really like your druid spells. I was like, man, we need to like incorporate this in D&D because these are make druids way cooler.
Thank you. And with that, so let's go through our house cleaning one more time, Oscar. I want to say that was everything.
That was everything.
I feel, though, in the back of my head, I'm missing something big. And if you made it to this far in our episode, thank you for listening. And I'm gonna tell them, Oscar, what we're watching next week. Because if they made it this far, they deserve to at least know.
You do, Bean Team. What do we got?
We're watching a technically Christmas show. You can watch it on Netflix, and it's Happy. Which, actually, I think it's a really good leap from Gremlins. Because I know you haven't seen it yet, but you'll see why. I'll save it for myself.
All right. I'll check it out. I'll probably watch the first episode tonight.
Good. Because I'm going to have to rewatch it because I've already seen it and I want to see season 2. How long is
season 1?
I want to say 12 episodes, but I think they're an hour long each. It's like one of those shows. I think, or I don't know. I'll check right now. I'll check after the show. I don't need to waste time now. Thank you for listening. Thank you for having fun. And like always, Oscar hit him with our famous catchphrase, and we're out.
I can't think of anything from the damn movie. I can't.
I got you one.
Go ahead.
Okay. I saw my father. He snapped his neck. That was the day I found out Santa isn't real. Don't forget, kids, this is a children's movie. Don't forget.
Screonk!
I knew you were gonna fucking do it.
All right, guys. Bye, Bean Team.
Bye. Oh, Oscar.